And we're holding on Ring Zion Umr Aleph by the two dots, nine lines from top. We learned in the Mishnah that if a man is Makadish a woman with any of various Isurei Hana, things that we have there are now, there are things that a person is not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to have Hana from. For example, let's say it was Makadish her with a piece of Nevela or something. I don't know. If a person is Makadish, if a man is Makadish, a woman with a piece of Nevela or something, no big deal. It's true, of course, she can't eat it, but she can have Hana from it. So it's worth a shava pruta, no problem with that. But if he's Makadish with something that's also Bahana, then the Mishnah had given a long list of examples, which now we're in the middle of going through to see where we know, in fact, that each one of them is also Bahana, then it won't be valid Kiddushin. We actually talked about yesterday, Tosfos pointed out there may be cases where there might be cases where she's able to have hana from them in an unusual way. For example, to use them as a dressing for a wound or something. However, since she's under the impression that she's going to be receiving something that's worth X amount as the full amount, as in a fruit, for example, and it turns out that it's Orla, where she can't actually eat it, she can only do these kinds of things with it, then therefore it's not going to be considered valid kedushin. Anyway, so we're in the middle of going through this list of how these various things that are also bahana, and how we know each one of them is in fact also bahana and Zion and Aleph. So the Gemara says be'egla arufa. So the next one on the list is the egla arufa. So the Gemara says menolon. So where do we know that from? So where do we know that's also bahana? Amid Dvei Rav Yanai. So they said in the yeshiva of Yanai, in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, because kapara ksiv bo kodshim, when it comes to the egla arufa, so they have the whole ritual over there, and at the end the kohenim say kaper la'amcha Yisrael, Hashem, please atone for your Jewish people, and that's similar to expressions that are used by kodshim v'chiper olav. So therefore, it's considered like kodshim. Kodshim are also bahana. After all, me'ilah applies to them. So therefore, here also we learn by Xeda Shava or it's different Mephoshim discuss exactly what the method of limud is. But whatever, we learn that the egla arufa is also bahana. Tosfos points out, by the way, there is a different limud that the Gemara says elsewhere to know that the egla arufa is also bahana, because you haven't explained the pasuk says, but ofu shum, they should decapitate it there, and that means shum to hake vurasa, it has to be buried there, and you can't do anything with it other than bury it. So why do you need both limudim? And Tosfos explains because you need basically one of them teaches us that it's also even while it's alive, and the other one teaches us that it's also even after it was decapitated. Otherwise, you would think in general you have a rule once a mitzvah has been accomplished with something, usually usually you have with the kodshim, for example, once the mitzvah has been accomplished with them, me'ilah no longer applies. So you might have thought of it here also, and therefore you need two different psukim.
And the skin
is going to be included as well. So one is telling us that it's going to be also while it's alive, and we're going to start discussing in a few lines at what point during its life does it become also. Obviously, it's not also from when it was born; it only became designated as an egla arufa later. So, at what point does that kick in? We're going to discuss that point soon. But the point is, even after it's decapitated, it's also bahana and remains that way. So, therefore, so again, he can't be mekadosh with it. Achronim have an interesting time with the question how b'chlal it belongs to the tzibur. How is there even a hava amina that he could potentially use it for kedushin? Anyhow, that's a whole nother question. But okay, anyway. Anyway,
find a better way to.
You can find, yeah. Next, siporim mitzora. The next thing we said was the birds that are used for the purification ritual of the mitzora. The first thing that describes in Parshas mitzora, where they take the two birds and the eitz erez, ezev, etc., and they shech one of them. So we're saying that those are also bahana. So let's get into that. Now, by the way, Rashi learns that now of the two birds, one of them is going to be shechted and the other one is going to be sent off. We're going to discuss later on whether the one that's sent off, how we know that once it's sent off, it's mutar bahana. Rashi actually learns that one never becomes also bahana in the first place.
Especially sending it off to Hefkin.
Ah, that's what the Gemara is going to talk about that later, primarily on Amud Beis. But we'll get into that point, how exactly we know it's mutar bahana. But the point is, Rashi holds the one that stays alive never becomes also bahana in the first place. On the other hand, a number of the other Mephoshim point out, the fact is it does say it's po rei mitzora in the plural, And most of them understand that what happens is, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, there is a point where the where both of them become ulcer. Then one of them becomes mutter afterwards, and the other one remains ulcer. So how do we know? So tzipora mitzora menolon. How do we know that they're also b'hana? So the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, like this: Nemer machshir u'machaper b'fnim, v'nemer machshir u'machaper b'chutz. You have korbanos. You have like this. You have korbanos that are machshir. In the case of an asham mitzora, particularly the osham is not so much to be machaper for him. His tzoras really did that. It's more that it's machshir that it makes him now able to be able to eat korbanos, where until now he was a mechusa kapara and he couldn't. There are a few other cases of mechusa kapara, but let's talk about, let's say you have the asham mitzora. So you have a machshir that takes place inside the Bais HaMikdash, and you have a machaper, all the other korbanos that are brought for kapara. And those are all b'fnim, inside the Bais HaMikdash. V'nemer machshir u'machaper b'chutz. Then you have, in the case of Metzora, you have a machshir, and you have, and in the case of Metzora versus other korbanos, you have something that's machshir him, that takes place outside, namely the thing with the two birds. That's machshir him, where now he's allowed, once that thing is done, he's able to come into the city, he's able to start the process of his tara, he doesn't have such a severe tumah as before, so that's machshir in that sense. And you have a machaper that takes place outside the Bais HaMikdash, namely the Egla Arufa. So therefore, we can say, ma machshir machaper ha'omer b'fnim, also by machshir k'machaper. Now, just like by the ones that take place inside the Bais HaMikdash, the machshir is just like the machaper, in the sense, in other words, that you have the asham mitzorah, is like all other korbanos in the way that it's brought. You have certain special things that are done with it, but other than that, it's treated like any regular korban. The blood of it is sprinkled on, the blood of it is caught in a kli shares, it's sprinkled on the mizbeach, they burn the emurim on the mizbeach, and the koyanim eat the rest of the meat, etc. So even though it's only a machshir, nevertheless, it has the dinim of every other mechaper, of every other korban that's brought as a kapara. Therefore, Tanit Veda Bishmal says, af machshir machaper homo bachutz. The same way, when you have a pair like that, you have machshir versus machaper that take place outside the Bais HaMikdash, also by machshir k'machaper, they are also the machshir, which is the two birds, is just like the machaper, the egla arufa. Since we just established that the egla arufa is also because it says on it kapara, and therefore it's like kodshim, or like Tosfa said, you have a second limud also from the gzeira shava of sham. Therefore, we see from that also the two birds, or one of them at least, is going to be also just like that as well, just like the egla arufa is also, so are the tziporim etzora. So it's basically, it's like a mamatzinu kind of, although again, different mafoshim talk about what exactly the form of limud is, but yeah. Okay, so now, itmar, so now we have a discussion about that. Tzipora mitzora me'emasai asurim. At what point do these birds of the mitzora become osur? So this you have a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan omer mishas shchita v'reshlokesh omer mishas lekicha. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it becomes osur from when it's shechted. The shechted one becomes osur at that point. The other one that's going to be sent away, the one that's going to be sent to fly away, is mutter. So again, Mefoshim understand Rashi to be saying that the Mishalachas always was osur. It never became, always was mutter. It never became osur. Whereas Tosva says, and most other Mefoshim agree that no, it means the Mishalachas does indeed become osur for a while. There comes a point where both of them are osur. Then when you shech the other one becomes mutter. Bahana, that is.
The process is done.
The process is done, kind of, yeah. So that's Rabbi Yechanan. But a shlokish ama mashas l'kicha. Rabbi Yechanan says both of them become osur from when they're bought. Then when you send away, then Rish Lakish would say, when you send away the Mishalachas, then that one becomes mutter. As we're going to discuss on Amud Beis, how we know that the Mishalachas becomes mutter. But according to him, they became also at an earlier point once you bought them. So let's figure that out. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mishas Shchita, because he says Shchita Huda Osrala, because he says, look, what is it that makes the one that was shechted? What makes it osur? The actual shechting of it. Therefore, so it can't be osur. In other words, since as we're going to see soon, Since we're going to see soon in the Gemara, we're going to bring a pasuk to show that the shchuta is osur. You shouldn't think, in other words, look, it was shechted, it should be mutter to eat. No, it remains osur bahana, in fact. So Rabbi Yochanan says, given that, then therefore that means that at that point it becomes osur. So and the other one remains mutter. So therefore that itself tells us that it becomes osur at that point when you shecht it and not early. Rishlokish says it becomes also from when you bought it, because he says me'egla arufa nafka. He says you're going to learn by a gzera shava or by mamatzinu or whatever from the egla arufa. Ma egla arufa mechayim, just like the egla arufa becomes also while it's still alive, as we said before that we learn from kapora ksivba kakodshim. And that applies even while it's alive, because we had Tosfos before pointing out they have two limudim, and one tells us that it's also even while it's alive, and the other one after it's shechted. And we're going to talk about soon more details about that, how we know that at what point does the egla arufa become osur. But everybody agrees that it is sometime while it's alive. So therefore, so he says, so aftiporim etzera mechayim, the same way, the aftiporim etzera become also even while they're alive. So it can't be like you were saying, Rabbi Yochanan, only from when you shecht it, it has to be from an earlier point. What would that earlier point be? When you buy them for the purpose. The pasuk says, v'lokach lamitaher, shtei tziporim chayes tahoris. Now the word v'lokach can mean he takes them, but in Gemara terminology, lakicha usually means to buy, so it means that he buys them for this purpose.
Maybe when it comes to Bessimilish, even before.
No, because the Metzora at this point is outside the city. Remember, we can't even come into the walled city until this is done. Once the whole thing with the two birds, etc., is done, now his tumor is now weakened. Now he's able to re-enter the city. Now he does his first shaving, and he waits 7 days, and then he does his tovels again, does his second shaving, and the next day he brings his korbanos.
So those 7 days, he does that.
During those 7 days, the pasuk says, "V'yashav mechut va'aloi," he stays outside his tent, which means actually the Gemara explains in Moed Katan and in other places means he's allowed to be inside the city. He's not allowed to have relations with his wife. The Gemara brings a machlokas in Moed Katan when he's a mitzoda muchlat, when he's a confirmed mitzoda, staying outside the city, is he allowed to have relations with his wife? And the Gemara brings interestingly over there. You find. On the face of it, you would think not. On the other hand, the Gemara brings over there, you find, it seems that King Yosef, that when Uzziyahu, the famous King Uzziyahu, got Saras, trying to bring Torah in the Beis Hamikdash, it seems based on the numbers given in the Pesukim, that his son Yosef was conceived during the time when he already had Saras. So in that case, the Pasuk says that Yosef was 25 when he took over as king, and based on the calculations in the Pesukim, it comes out over there that Uzziyahu had Saras for approximately the same amount of time, 25 years. So therefore, so Gemara calculates that it comes out that he would have conceived Yosem while he was a Metzora. Anyway, the point is, during these 7 days, definitely the Pasuk says, V'yoshav michot for Allah, and we say, Ein Allah, Ela Ishtoi. So it means that he's also to have relations with his wife. And he still has a degree of tumor during that time until he does his second shaving and brings his korbanos. Anyway, the point is that so Rish Lakish is saying that the same way as the Egla Arufa, there's a point during its life when it already becomes also Bahana, the same way the Kodim Etzerda, there has to be a point while they're alive, not like you, Rabbi Yochanan, are saying, only when you shech them. Well, the Egla Arufa Gufa Me'emasai, okay, well, at what point does the Egla Arufa itself become also? Amr Abyana Gvul Shamaiti Bav Shachachti. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I heard a limitation about it, but I've forgotten what that was. However, our colleagues, the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, have thought to say on their own, they came up with a svara, yuridosel nachal eson hi isarta, that the bringing it down to the nachal eson is the point when it becomes osur. Meaning, so you buy it for the purpose, but then you have you bring it to the Nachal Eson, which is you have Rashi explains that Nachal Eson means a valley with hard ground. The Rambam understands it to be a valley with a fast flowing stream. Anyway, the point is that's where you do the Egla Arufa. So Rabbi Yana is saying, or Chaverim think to say that the time, the Gvul that I knew about and forgot, is when it's brought down to the Nachal Eson.
When the water then leaves the ground soft.
So then it would have to mean by the banks of the river. But in any case, the point is, the question boils down to what the word eson means. We learned about it in Masechta Sota, where the word eson can mean hard, and that's where it actually gets that. It means hard ground, whereas it can also mean hard as in fast flowing, and that's where nachal often means a stream, and therefore, therefore the Rambam will hold that it means a stream with a fast current. Anyway, so fine, but the Gemara asks, in that case, then why is Rish Lakish learning from the Egla Arufa to say that the birds are also while they're alive? In that case, by the Egla Arufa, everybody is agreeing that it doesn't become also when you first buy it, only when you take it down to the Nachal Eson. Shouldn't we say the same thing by the Tzipora Mitzora? They shouldn't become also from when they're bought. So why is Rish Lakish saying that all the way back to when they're bought, they become also? That's not like the Egla Arufa. And the Gemara answers back, Hochi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare? When it comes to the Egla Arufa, because you have another boundary. In other words, you could say like this. It's almost like tafasta merubala tafasta, the Ritva explains. You have two possible times during its life cycle when it could become ulcer. When you first buy it and when you bring it to the Nachal Eson. So therefore, you could say that you're going to go with the later stage. So you could say, instead of assuming that it becomes ulcer already at the earlier stage, you're going to defer it as long as possible to the later stage. But when it comes to the Tzipora Mitzora, is there another gvul you have when you buy them, and then you're using them? Now Tosfos points out, in other words, because by the Egla Arufa, the pasuk specifically mentions the bringing it to the Nachal Eson. The pasuk says v'lokhu, they should buy it, and then it says v'hayridu, they should bring it down. So the bringing it down is clearly mentioned in the pasuk. As opposed to the Tzipora Mitzora, of course, they have to be brought to where the Mitzora is, but the Pasuk doesn't say those words. It doesn't say they view or something to that effect, that they should bring the birds. All it says, V'lokach l'mitahar, shtei tziporim chayis tahoris, and the other ingredients, and then the next thing is they shech the one bird. So there's no hava mentioned in the Pasuk that we should say that constitutes another gvul. Therefore, Rish Lakish can say that. Of necessity, the gvul has to. And since therefore, on the other hand, we don't want to say that we have to wait all the way till the shchita, because then it won't be anything like the Egla Arufa. So therefore, and we had before what Rabbi Yana was saying, that there was a certain similarity between the machshir and the mechaper, the Tzipora Mitzora and the Egla Arufa. Therefore, Rish Lakish says, you can't say that's only from the time of Shtita. It can't be from the time of Havah, because that's not mentioned Bechlal in connection with the birds. Therefore, it has to be from when they're bought. Whereas by the Egla Arufa, given that you have, the Pasuk does mention buying and does mention the bringing, then you can say only from the bringing does it become Osir.
You can't compare one.
Well, so you're comparing them as much as possible. But so you're saying, basically, by both of them, the last step before the creature is killed is where it becomes also. In the case of the Egla Arufa, that would be the Hirada, the bringing down the Nachal Eson. And in the case of the birds, it would be the buying them, because you don't have any later stage than that to talk about.
Unless when you take the Azov, you're tying it together.
No, but that's true. But because the tying together is only afterwards. First, you shech the one bird. Then afterwards, the pasuk describes, you take the live bird and the Eitz Erez and so forth, and you tie them together and dip them in the mixture of water and blood. So no, the next thing after the buying them, it, again, practically speaking, there is the bringing them, but that's not mentioned in the pasuk. Of the steps mentioned in the pasukim, the next thing after buying them is the shechting of the one bird. So that's what Rish Lakish's opinion. But the Gemara says, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish. So now Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, I have a contradiction on you. We learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk, now you have like this, you have in Parashas Shmini, the Torah tells us about the kosher and non-kosher creatures that you're allowed to eat, land animals, birds, fish, etc. And then it repeats that in Parashas Re'eh. And in Parashas Re'eh, the poem about the birds, it introduces with two psukim. You can eat any kosher bird, and the following you're not allowed to eat from them. And then it starts listing the 20 odd types that you're not allowed to eat. So what are those psukim adding? So kol tzipor tahora techelu l'rabes esam shalachas. The words kol tzipor tahora techelu come to teach us, come to include that you're allowed to eat the one that was sent away because the kol is a ribui. So it means even this one that was used as part of this ritual, you're still allowed to eat afterwards. Which how we know that how we know the pasuk is referring to that one, the Gemara is going to start talking about soon. How we know. We're going to talk about different limudim. We're going to talk about svaris, etc. We're going to talk about beginning at the bottom of the Amud, how we know this concept. But anyway, right now we're saying that kol tzipor tahora techelu comes to include that you can eat the mishalachas. And when it continues, v'zeh asher lo seichel mehem, when it continues, the following you're not allowed to eat from them, l'rabas ashkota, that comes to include the one that was shechted. And that one is also b'hanah. So, which, by the way, we talked about yesterday, we talked about the opinion of Rabbi Bohu in a Gemara in Psochem, in a Sugya in Psochem, on the issues of Yisurei Hanah, where Rabbi Bohu says that anytime the Torah says you can't eat something, it also automatically means you can't have Hanah, unless the Pasuk specifically tells us can have Hanah. So therefore, so if it says over here, kol tzipor tahora techelu mehem, automatically, according to him, it includes an Issur Hanah as well. Tosfos points out, you have in that Gemara in Psochem, you have a different opinion of Chizkiah, who says that lo seichlu just means you can't eat it. He would need a different pasuk for the Issur Hanah. So Tosfos says, fine, he would learn like this, the same way as the mishalachas is also for a period of time until the ritual is over, and that you can't obviously eat it because it's alive, so there's nothing to talk about eating it, so therefore it must be it's also bahana. We would learn from that, Chizkiya would say, you'd learn from that that the shchuta also becomes osur and remains osur, bahana, that is. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yechon is saying, so that's the Braisa. So we're learning from those two psukim. One says kol tzipor tahora techelu. The other one says v'zeh asher lo seichel mehem, where the asher is a ribui, meaning there's some kind of bird that is also, it's not in the list of 24 birds that the Torah is going to list, but nevertheless, it's also to eat, and that is the one that you shechted as part of the Metzora ritual. Now, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, v'isakredach mechayim asura. If you're going to tell me that the birds become osu even while they're alive, la'acha shchitim boya, would you need a pasuk to tell us that they're also even, that's also even after it's shechted? Of course, if it was osu mechayim, it's going to remain osu even after it's shechted. So doesn't that show that no, they remain mutter until anything is shechted? Then at that point, the shchuta becomes osu, and therefore that would contradict you, Rish Lakish, who are saying they become osu from when they're born. So Rish Lakish answers no. The Maud Tema, no, because otherwise you might have thought, Midi to have a Kodshim. After all, otherwise, without the Pasuk telling us, you would think to compare it to Kodshim. Demechayim Astiri, Kodshim are also while they're alive, and Meila applies to them. But then you shech them, and now they become mutter, and depending on what type of korban it is, you eat the appropriate parts of it. So you would think maybe the same thing over here. So fine. Maybe you can't eat it, but at least you should be able to have hanah from it. Kamash malon. Therefore, the vezer shall they say mehem would have to tell us that no, they remain also. So no, that's not a contradiction against me, because it is true the pasuk has to specify that it's also. But that pasuk specifying it's also is talking about achas shchita. The fact that it's also while it's still alive, that is because we're comparing it to the Egla Arufa, because we said before, Machshir Kemachaper, like Rabbi Yana had said earlier, and therefore, like not Rabbi Yana, like Tanan Veda Bishmol had said earlier, and therefore that it becomes also, just like the Egla Arufa, we said becomes also while it's alive, so does the Tzipporim, etc. Okay. Eisvei, so now Rabbi Yochanan says, I have another contradiction on Rish Lakish. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah describes the whole procedure with the two birds. It says shachta v'nimtzis trefa. If you shechted the one bird and it turned out to be trefa, now Rashi says that when we say over here trefa, now first of all, trefa is possible for this purpose. Now, even though you're not eating it on the face of it, why does it need to be kosher? But since the pasuk says that they have to be chayos, so chayas literally means alive, but the Gemara elsewhere explains that it means that the word chayas also means an animal that is capable of living long term, as opposed to a trefa, where by definition it's not going to live 12 months. So a trefa is possible for this thing, for this procedure. And Rashi explains that the word v'nimtzeis, where the Mishnah says you found it, Trefa, it sounds like it means that you found, in other words, that during the Shechita, it became Trefa. Which, in other words, Tosfos teaches out. For example, you found that, you shechted it, and afterwards you discovered that there had been a hole in the windpipe, or large enough to make a trefa, or in the esophagus, in the food pipe, whatever. Each of those has an amount. We'll learn in Masechta Cholin in a few years, Be'ez Hashem, what the sizes of holes in those respective pipes are that make the animal or the bird trefa, but whatever. The point is, there are certain sizes. So you can have, let's say, for example, Tosfos says the vesh, the esophagus, even a tiny hole in it makes the animal trefa. The logic behind it is very easy to understand, because then food will leak out of it inside the body, and it'll set up infections over there. But anyway, the point is, so Tosfos is explaining Rashi to be saying, suppose that then you shechted the bird, and afterwards you found on the esophagus, you found a tiny hole there, someplace else. So now you know the bird was trefa before you ever shechted it. Anyway, Rashi explains, because if it was some other kind of trefa, then you can't really say v'nimtzis, because either it was obvious before, or you're not even necessarily checking for such trefas. You're not necessarily, after you shech the bird, you're not checking it for all of the dozens of types of trefas you could have. Bechlal, when it comes to shechting animals and birds in general, usually we're able to be soymech al aroiv. Now, like this you have, I mean, there are 18 major kinds of trefas, and once you break them down with all the details given in the Gemara and Cholin, the Rambam lists there are 70 different things that make an animal trefa. The fact is, they don't check for most of them, because you can be soymech al aroiv. Most animals don't have these conditions, and therefore you don't have to check for them. If you have something which is a mir tamotzri, where it may be a minority, but it's a prevalent enough minority that you have a certain percentage of animals are known to have such things, for example, problems with the lungs, or for example, if you have with a particular animal, you have a reusa, you have reason to suspect that it has a particular defect. For example, let's say at one point it was banged on the head, and therefore you have concerns that maybe something in the brain or in the membranes around it was damaged. Then you have to check for such things. This is why, for example, nowadays with animals, let's say almost the only thing they check for are problems with the lungs. Those are very prevalent, so therefore that's a mir tamotzu. In the case of birds, they also check. In the case of chickens, particularly, they also check for certain things in the intestines, in the kishkas, because there's a very common, because they eat anything, because whatever it is, there's a particular kind of infection or something that's very common in them. But other than that, you don't have to check for the rest of them. So it's not likely you're checking the bird for all the possible trefas. So that's why Rashi explains, we're talking about that you found, as in afterwards, you're checking the windpipe and the esophagus to make sure you did a proper shritta. And then you find that, there was a hole in it. Tosfos actually doesn't like that explanation of Rashi so much for a couple of reasons, and they end up saying that no, what it means is that you found, for example, you found that it was missing something that you found that it was congenitally missing something that it's needed for it to be not trefa. For example, you find it was missing its liver. Or other kinds of things like that, where it's clear already when you bought it, it was a trefa. Otherwise, anything else, you could always argue, developed after it was bought. And the Gemara is going to be talking about soon the point that when it comes to these kinds of things, you have to know whether it was that way when it was bought already, or whether, remember, Shlokish is saying from when they're bought, they became also. So that's going to drive Rabbi Yechanan's question. So if you have something like, for example, a hole in the esophagus, conceivably that could take place only after you bought it. There are actually Rishonim who understand Rashi differently. The Ramban and other Rishonim understand Rashi differently, and they say Rashi means to say that you found you didn't do the shechita properly. Instead of cutting through the roiv of both pipes, or of only one, it's a bird, you only need to cut through the roiv of one pipe. You accidentally cut through only half or less than half or whatever. Anyway. The point is, so the Brai says, so the Mishnah rather is saying that if you shechted it and found it trefa, according to whatever definition, yikach zug l'shnia, so the Mishnah says, you get a second one to match up with the first one, because you have one of them is still alive. So the point is, in other words, you don't have to buy them at the same time. The first one, now that was shechted, becomes mutter b'hanah. the shchita makes it osur, but this is called shchita she'ena ru'uya. This is called a shchita that is not suitable because it's not accomplishing what it's supposed to, because you can't use that one for the mitzvah because it was today. So therefore, it's not going to become osur. Now you can't eat it, of course. It's shreifa, but you can have hanah from it. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'isakadaitach asura." If you're going to tell me Rish Lakish that the brood already became also while it was alive, then why is the first one muter b'hanah? It became also according to you when it was bought, or at least maybe that's Rashi says. We don't know for sure whether it had this treifa when it was originally bought, but maybe it was still good then. Maybe it was still good then, and therefore, so now when you bought it, it became also. How can the shchita now be matter it? In other words, again, what is going to be matter anything is a proper shchita. In this case, the shchita wasn't done that could accomplish the mitzvah. So what makes you think that now it should become mutar b'hanah? So Amaleh, so Rish Lakish answers, Hacha Ma'iskinim Gunchinim today for Bibnei Me'er. That you're not talking about where you found, for example, there was a hole in the esophagus which makes it that kind of terefa. You're talking about, for example, you checked the kishkis and you found that there was a terefa in it. So Rashi explains that already when you bought it, it wasn't rory. Unlike the case of the hole in the windpipe, where conceivably that developed later, here it's clear that it was terefa before that. Here's where Tosfos says, why? Could the same way as it could develop a hole in the esophagus later, the same way it could develop an infection in the Bnei Me'ayim later. That's why Tosfos says, Shreifa Bnei Me'ayim means that you found that it was missing the liver, or it was missing some other internal organ, which makes it obviously that when you bought it, it already was missing that. So Rish Lakish, in other words, says that Mishnah is talk. No kedusha ever came on it at all. But Rish Lakish is saying you're right. In fact, if you had bought it and you shechted it and found it a trefa, for example, you found a hole in the esophagus which might have developed after you bought it, or for example, like the other Rishonim learn Rashi that the shchita itself was done improperly. Or whatever, then in fact, I agree, it would remain also, even after it's shechted, because it was bought for the mitzvah. It was, as far as we knew at that time, it was usable for the mitzvah. Now we find it's not because it's a terefa. That you're right, the shechita would not take away the iser. The Mishnah is not talking about that case. The Mishnah is talking about a case where, to begin with, when you bought it, it turns out all along it was no good because it was terefa to begin with, and therefore now it never became osur by buying it in the first place, and therefore now that you shechted it, it'll be like any other shechted bird, which is terefa and is mutar b'hanah. So no contradiction against me, Rish Lakish says. Okay, Eisvei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a third contradiction on you. A braisa says, shochta shalei be'ezoiv, if he shechted the bird without the ezoiv, and you have a machlokas rishonim, do we mean that he didn't have the ezoiv right there? Does it mean that he didn't even have any ezoiv at all? Whatever. There was some discussion about that. Do they actually have to be in front of the koyin when he's shechting, or does it just mean they have to be available that he can bring them afterwards, but as opposed to if he doesn't even own them right now? Whatever. Anyway, the point is, if he did it without the ezov, v'shaloi be'etz eretz v'shaloi b'shnitei la'as, so he doesn't have the etz eretz v'shnitei la'as, all the various pieces that you need in order to do the mitzvah. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, hoyov hukzel mitzvasa. So Rabbi Yaakov says, since already the bird was set aside for its mitzvah, asura, then it remains asur. In other words, you didn't do the shchita properly, but nevertheless, it was done, and therefore the bird is asur. Rabbi Shimon Omer says, no, since it was shechted improperly without these other pieces, then therefore it's mutter. And Rabbi Yochanan explains, my question now against you, Rish Lakish, is as follows. Ad kan le pligi ella. So what is the underlying machlokas? The mars ella, mars sova shchita shenen uya, shma shchita. Rabbi Yaakov is going to hold, even though it was a shchita shenen uya, it's a shchita that cannot accomplish the mitzvah because you didn't have the eight eras, etc. Nevertheless, it's still considered shma shchita. It's considered a shchita to the extent that it has the rule that makes the bird osur. Whereas Reb Shimon is going to hold that not. It's a shchita that doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to. Therefore, it doesn't accomplish making it osur. You have that machlokas in other places in Shas as well. You have different cases where shchita turns out to not be matir something. Does it have the dinim of shchita for various purposes? As far as oisav es b'noi, it comes up as far as kisi adam, it comes up as far as different areas of halacha that require shchita. Anyway, the point is, so that's the underlying machlokas. The bottom line is, though, both Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon seem to agree it doesn't become also while it's alive, because they're only talking about whether the shchita makes it also. So how are you, Rish Lakish, saying, so what are you basing yourself on, Rish Lakish, to say that it should be also while it's alive from when it was bought, like you said? The answer is Tanoihi. There is, in fact, Machlokas Tanoim on this. It's true that Rabbi Yochanan, it's true that the two Tanoim we just quoted, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon, can only be understood according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, but there is a different Tana who says according to Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish can be following him. The Tanit, the Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmuel, namely the Tonet Ve Rabbi Shmuel that we learned near the top of the Amud, where he said, where you have a machshir, you have a type of korban that makes the person suitable to eat kodshim and is not really so much meant for kapara, namely the asham metzora, which makes him mutter now to eat kodshim, and machaper, all the other korbanos that take place inside the Beis Hamikdash, the name of machshir machaper bachutz. Then you have a machshir, which is the tzipora mitzora, which make him now again eligible to re-enter the city and to start the process of his tara. And machaper, you have the egla arufa, which takes place outside the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, the comparison is ma machshir machaper b'fnim, also a machshir k'machaper. So just like the ones that take place in the Beis Hamikdash, the dinim of the machshir and the machaper are the same. Again, the asham metzora has the same exact dinim as other korbanos in terms of the kabbalah, in terms of the sprinkling on the mizbeach, in terms of the thoughts that will passel it, it can become piggle or possel just like any other korban, et cetera, in all those respects, it's like all other korbanos. It has certain unique features, but other than that, it's like all other korbanos. So the same way, so we see the machshir is like the machaper b'fnim. So Tanan Veda Bishmol says, af machshir machaper oma b'chutz, also the machshir k'machaper, the same way, the ones that take place outside the Beis Hamikdash, the machshir is like the machaper. And therefore, if the mechaper, which is the egla rufa, becomes also while it's alive, and we said before, it becomes also when they bring it down to the nachal eisan, therefore, also the mechaper, which is the two birds, which are machshir him to now re-enter the city, have to be like that. They also become also while they're alive. So therefore, Tanit Rei Rabbi Shmuel is saying like Rish Lakish. So therefore, so you're bringing me a braisa where Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yaakov disagree. Fine, but I hold like I'm entitled to hold like Tanan Vei Rabbi Shmuel and say who evidently disagrees with them and says that they're going to become also while they're alive. So that's that then. So the bottom line is we have a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish and. So earlier we brought this braisa of Tanan Vei Rabbi Shmuel to show the fact that the Tzipora Metzora become also in the first place. We wouldn't have even known they become also in the Bahana in the first place, except with the comparison with the Egla Arufa. Now Rish Lakish is saying, furthermore, we also have to compare them, not only as far as the fact that they're also Bahana, but also as far as the fact that they're also Bahana while they're alive. As opposed to Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, in that regard, I hold like the other Tanoim and say that it becomes also only when it's shechel. Okay. Next, we said before, so Gufa, getting back to, we quoted before Braisa, that said, Kol tzipor tahara techelu l'rabas asa mishalachas, the first pasuk that says you're allowed to eat any tahar bird, it comes to include the mishalachas, and v'zeh l'teuchel mahem, the next pasuk that continues, these are the ones that you're not allowed to eat from them, and again, the way we said the word asher is a ribui, so therefore l'rabas asa shchoter, it comes to include the one that was shechted, becomes also b'hana. So the Gemara asks, l'epo chana. Now, why do we say it that way? Maybe we should flip it around. Maybe we should say that the one that's sent away remains osir, and the one that's shechted becomes mutar b'hana. So now the Gemara is going to bring several different ways of understanding that it's not so. We never find living animals that become osir forever while they're alive. So therefore, so now the mishalachas remains alive. You send it, it flies off and goes who knows where. So it remains alive. So therefore, there's no svara to say that it should become also, because you never find such a thing that an animal should be forever also while it's alive. But the Gemara asks,
you find like we guess the if it's a bechor and then
a bechor doesn't crazy. A bechor doesn't become also forever. A bechor is also a bechor. You bring it as a korban, and if there's no bais hamikdash, then you have to wait till it develops a moon. But it's not.
And the other one that has some grace until it dies.
So okay, you have so you have chatoris hamesis, for example. Fine, but right, but eventually, yeah. Right, yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara says the law is a maskef of Shmuel bar Yitzchak. What do you mean? There's no animal that you ever has an isur olam while it's still alive. The law, you're telling me not harim muktzah b'nevan. Consider a muktzah an animal that was designated to be brought as a korban to avodah zarah, and it's also to ever bring it as a korban, or nevad, an animal that was actually worshipped as avodah zarah. Debali chayim ninu, they're very much alive, v'asiri, and they're still also forever as a korban. So you see, therefore, that a live animal can be also forever. So the verse is ki asiri la gavoya. Fine, they're only also as far as a korban to Hashem. Lehediot mishra shori, a hediot would be perfectly allowed to would be perfectly allowed to shecht and eat such an animal. Especially, actually, you have a point the Gemara mentions. Elsewhere a point called ein hektish lavodizar, that there's no such thing, unlike with kodshim, where you can designate an animal or any other object that this is hektish, this now belongs to Hashem, and it's off limits for regular use. When it comes to avodah zarah, there's no such thing. A person says, this is going to be designated for avodah zarah, it doesn't become also yet, only when it's actually used. So as far as a hediyot, it remains mutu even after that, unless it's actually used as to korev avodah zarah, and then it becomes also. So that's not a valid counter argument. It is true you do have the egla arufa itself. We just said before it becomes also when they bring it down to the nachal eisan. So there are a number of reasons that Rishonim give why and the Rashba explains that primarily. Now the next thing the Gemara is going to bring up is Reveya v'Nirba, an animal that was used for bestiality, which has to be killed. So there you have an example of a living animal that becomes osur. But so the Rashba explains like this. It's not so much because they're oimid lemissa. Now, you mentioned, for example, chatoris hamesis, but Pashtus, that would be answered by the same point that Rashba is making. We're not talking about animals that are also because their next thing that's going to happen with them is they have to die. We're talking about animals that become also because of something that was done to them. In this case, what are we're dealing with over here with Mishalachas. The Mishalachas is not being killed, it's being sent off. But the question is how we know that it doesn't become also bahana. And the answer is because we never find a living animal that something is done to it, which doesn't directly lead to its death, and that should remain usher. So the egla arufa, why does it become usher when you bring it down to the nachal eisan? Because the next step is to decapitate it. So therefore, that the Gemara is not asking from that. And then really in that case, the Rashba says, then in that case, with muktzah and nevad, really, we're not really focusing so much on muktzah. The issue of muktzah is because it's going to be eventually shechted as a korban to avodah zarah. So the question is really more on Nev, but whenever the Gemara brings Nev, it usually brings Muktzah together with it. Those two tend to go together, just like we usually talk about when we talk about Pigul, we usually talk about Noser together with it. The same way when we say Nev, we usually mention Muktzah with it. But the Rashba explains the question is primarily from Nev. So you have Nevad, the animal was worshipped as avodah zarah. That doesn't make it also bahana, but it does make it also to forever bring as a korban. And the answer is fine. It's also to bring as a korban, but it is mutu lahedya.
If it was worshipped, it's still mutu
lahedya. If it's worshipped as avodah zarah, it's still mutu lahedya. So the Gemara explains in avodah zarah, you have to have tfisas yad odam. You have to have for something to be also as because it was worshipped, it has to be that human beings did something to it to change it. So you have, let's say, for example, an example it talks about over there is if somebody worships a mountain, the mountain doesn't become osur. You're not allowed to take stones from that mountain to make a mizbeach, because again, it became osur l'gavoya, but you'd be allowed to walk on that mountain and you'd be allowed to take dirt from it and use it for your purposes and whatnot. As opposed to, for example, the Gemara explains over there, that if let's say somebody now took that mountain and covered it with gold to beautify it as a avodah zarah, that gold will become osur. That's tzipui nevad, it's called, yeah. So anyway, the Rashba explains, again, the same point over here. It's not so much we're talking about an animal that becomes also because the next thing is going to be that it's going to die. So that covers the Egla Arufa, that covers Chatoris HaMesis, that covers Shurda Niskol, which covers a number of cases. What the Gemara is focusing on over here is cases where something is done that doesn't necessarily directly result in the death of the animal, and we're trying to find, is there an example where it becomes ulcer? So we're saying Nevad, but the answer is Nevad doesn't become ulcer for a head yet to use, to eat. It only becomes ulcer the Gavoya to be brought as a carbon. Okay. With that said, though, there are Marsha brings over here from a Tosfos Ishanim. It's true the Gemara could have asked from Egla Arufa as well. And the Meforshim will say, actually, because you have Muktzav and Nevad are two things, so once the Gemara is asking from two of them, it doesn't need to also ask from another one as well. Okay, so Maskif Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Yirmiya says, here's another counter example. What about an animal that was used for bestiality, Reveya, where it was the active partner, Nirba, where it was the passive one, and there were Edim? So now, therefore, now the animal is going to be given Skila. Debale Chaim Ninu, those are living creatures, Vaasiri, and they become also Bahana, because they have to get Skila. So just like we learned before about the Shodan Niskol, that once it becomes, once Nigma Dino, then already it's also Bahana, so it is over here with these. Actually, there is Tosfos brings up an interesting point. Rabbeinu Tam actually learns in a number of places in Shas that actually the Shurda Niskol is technically Mutter Bahana as long as it's alive. All it is the Torah says you're not allowed to shaft it. But if B'dievet, if he were not B'dievet, it wouldn't be Mutter Bahana. We said before it would be Osir if he shafts it. But if it was alive, as long as it's alive, Rabbeinu Tam actually learns it would be Mutter Bahana. For example, you could ride in it. But over here, you would say that you would say the Torah, when we say Bali Chaim Dastiri, meaning the Torah is saying that here is an animal which it's alive, but you're not allowed to shecht it and eat the meat, which is true of a Shurda Niskol. So the question is, Reveya Venirba, the Torah is telling us also, they have to be given skila. You can't shecht them and eat the meat, but apparently you'd be allowed to have hanah from them while they're alive. So we see, therefore, that in other words, the point of, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, the point would be the Shurda Niskol and also the Reveya Venirba, they all have this in common. While they're mutter, they're alive, but all the Torah is telling you is don't shecht them. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, so then in that case, you see, there is an animal that's also, while it's alive, you're also to shecht it. So what are you telling me, that the Mishalachas can't be also just because of that? So you're right. Rabbi Yochanan says, rather in the name of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it's not a matter of that you never find a living creature that is also. We never find that most animals should be also bahana. So in other words, you want to argue that maybe the Mishalachas should be the one that becomes ulcer. Again, you have two psukim, one implying that one of the birds is ulcer, and the other one, and another one implying that one of them is mutter. You're going to say maybe it means the live one remains ulcer. Well, you're going to have to bring some kind of proof for it. The fact is, most of the time, living animals don't become ulcer. So therefore, the logic is to say that it would be the shechted one that's also. Okay, that's Rabbi Yechanan. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Then in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned a different source for this. The Amakra v'shilach al pnei hasada. The pasuk says that he sends away the live bird to the surface of the field. In other words, he sends it out to the Gemara is going to explain in a second. It means he sends it out to fly away to the fields. The point is, the comparison is kisada. The pasuk is implying the bird is like the field. Mas sada muteris, just like a field is mutter. Afhai nama muteris, the same way the one you're sending away is mutter. But the Gemara asks, hai sada lahochiu da'asa. You're telling me that the word sada is coming to teach us that point? Don't we need that word sada for a different limud? Where it says sada, the Bryce says, sada shalo yamad be'ir, he shouldn't, for example, stand in the city of Yafo, which is by the coast of Eretz Yisrael. You have Tel Aviv and Yafo, so should have Rachmanis on them, by the way. He's not allowed, for example, to be standing in the city of Yafo and sending the bird out over the Mediterranean Sea. The Geves Vizakhanal Midbar, or stand in the city of Geves, which is the wall of it is next to the Midbar, and send the bird out there. He also shouldn't be standing outside the city and throw it into the city. He has to be standing in the city and throwing it and sending it outside the wall. In other words, it actually says, because it says, it can't mean he's standing outside the city already, because then it's already michutz la'ir. So it has to mean that he's sending it from the inside of the city to the outside. Tosfos points out, now the Metzora himself was outside the city. So Tosfos says, actually, maybe what it means is after the whole procedure is finished, the Kohen maybe has to take the bird or send it with a shliach or whatever into the city and then send it out of the city. So Xeris HaKosev, in other words, that. So the procedure itself is done outside the city. Then he would take the bird, the live bird, into the city, and from there he would throw it out the wall to fly away.
It wasn't in the back of the Zara.
No, this whole thing takes place outside the city. After this whole thing is done, now he's allowed to come into the city and he does his thrill and his first shaving. What? The ear, thumb, and toe is later when he brings his korbanos. This whole thing, the birds are not korbanos. We said before, they're bachutz. They take place outside of the smithish. They're taking place even outside the city, we're saying. So anyway, the point is that we learn from the word sada, that detail, that it has to be sent out to the fields outside the city. So we need it for that livewood. So how is Tanad Veda Bishmal learning from the word hasada that the bird is mutter? So what would he say? He says, Imken nichtiv kras sada. In that case, the pasuk could have said that he should send the bird al pnei sada without the hay. My has sada shmaminatarti. Once it says has sada, we can learn both things, that you have to throw it out to the fields and that it's mutter bahana. So that's another way of learning rather than Rabbi Yechanan's Svara. And Rava Omar, here's a third way of learning. Loy Omra Torah Shalach V'Takolam. It's not logical that the Torah would tell us send away the bird and could cause a takola. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to find this bird. He has no way of knowing that it was used for the Taras Metzora. If you're going to tell me it's Osir, somebody is going to end up shechting and eating this bird and then end up doing an Aveda. So therefore, Sardashi says that actually Rava would say the posik that we said before, called Sipper Tahora Techelu, Rabbis and Samashalachas, Rava would say that's actually an Asmachta. Some Mephoshim say that Rabbi Tanadvera Mishmah would also say it's only an Asmachta. Primarily, we're learning from the logic. Rava says that the Torah wouldn't have told us to send away a bird where it's going to cause a takola to others. They make an interesting point. Achron discuss an interesting point in this. So it'll be bottle baroy. What's the problem? Roiv birds in the world are not the Tzipora Mitzora. So it'll be bottle baroy. What's the problem? And there are, in fact, Mephoshim who say, you see from that maybe even when it's bottle baroy, maybe it's not completely bottle. Maybe there's still remains a residual. Reb Shimon Shkop actually has a real fascinating point about it. He says there's a difference between the concept of bitul beroiv versus holach achar haroiv. You have the concept of bitul beroiv. Fine, we can say there that it's completely bottled. But here it's not really a matter of being bitul beroiv, because after all the birds are separate. You don't have bitul beroiv would be, for example, you have things blended together and you can't tell which is which. So he says, no, here you're talking about more. Again, maybe you could say that midoraisi could be mevatel beroiv, but here it's not so much a matter of being mevatel. Here it's a matter of that can somebody else finding a bird assume that it is part of the roiv. Because in other words, he says like this: when can you talk about bitul beroiv? When you have a bunch of things together and one thing gets mixed in, or a few things get mixed in, then you can talk about bitul beroiv. The birds in the world are scattered all over the world, so you can't say anything is bottle in them. You have to talk about holach achar roiv. Holach achar roiv. The fact is, the Torah says usually you can rely on the roiv. But are you allowed to put yourself in a suffix where you might be taking some of the miot, which is osir? No. Therefore, Rava is saying it can't be. The Torah would tell you, create a suffix like that, where now every time somebody finds a bird, he has to be concerned. Can I be holach achar roiv or not? Therefore, the logic is that the live one has to remain mutter. So a subtle difference, but a very, very big difference. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah B'sa'ar Nazir, the next thing is we said, If a man is Makadish with a hair from a nazir that was shaved off a nazir, minolon, so how do we know that's also bana? The amakra kodeshi gadol perasarosh, right? The pasuk says he should be holy, the growth of his hair, which means, in other words, gedula yehakod kodesh, the growth of the hair has to be kodesh. So the Gemara asks, "E ma kodesh tofus is dama v'yotzel acholin." Well, we know by things of kodeshim that it grabs a hold of the money, meaning you exchange it for money, and the money now has kedusha, but the object itself becomes cholin. Af sound nozer tofus is dama v'yotzel acholin, and maybe sound nozer is the same way. And the fact is, we said in the Mishnah not because we said fakir, if he sells the sound nozer, even though he wasn't allowed to, the money he can use for kedushin. So the answer is. Mi Korin and Kodesh. After all, the Pasuk doesn't say Kodesh, Kodosh Korin, and it says Kodosh. So therefore, it means not exactly. So it means, in other words, that it's Kodosh. It means it's holy, but the fact is, it's written in the Torah without the Vav. It could be read as either Kodesh or Kodosh, but the fact is, we read it as Kodosh. So therefore, it's not like Kodesh, which would be Tofus's Domov, but rather it itself is Kodosh. It itself is Kodesh and is Osabana. But it's not Tofus as Domov, and therefore, if he sells it, then the money will be Mutabana. If the Pasuk had said Kodesh year, then it would mean it's like Kodshim. But because this is Kodosh year, on the one hand, we're learning as if it said Kodesh. So therefore, so that teaches us that it has, to a certain extent, the din of Kodshim. However, since the fact is we read the Pasuk Kodesh, and not since we read the Pasuk Kodosh rather than Kodesh, that means it's not exactly like Kodshim. It means it's holy. It's also Bahana, but it's not Kodesh as like Kodshim, where therefore it would be Tofus as Dhamma. Okay. We said the Petr Chamer. We said another thing as he's Makadish with the Petr Chamer. And we said that's also Bahana. So the Gemara says, Neima Masnissin B'loik Reb Shimon. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Petr Chamer also Bahana, Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says a Petr Chamer is also Bahana from when it's born until you're poured it. Reb Shimon says it's mutter even before Pidyon, he holds it's still mutter b'hana. Now here we're saying Petach Hamor sounds like it's only according to Reb Yehuda. The answer is Amar Reb Nachman, Amar Reb Avu, La'achar Rifa v'Divrei Hakol. We're talking about over here after it was decapitated. V'imloy sifdev arafter, it says in the pasuk, if you don't want to be poured the firstborn donkey, then you have to decapitate it. At that point, even Reb Shimon is going to agree that it's also b'hana. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about, you took a piece of this Petr Chamer that was dead, and you want to be Makadish, a woman with it, then you can't do that because it's also Bahana. However, again, if he sold it in Kiddush B'damav, then it'll be Mutter because it's not Tofus as Dhamma. It's not Tofus as Dhamma, meaning the money of it doesn't get the same status as it. Okay. Then we said Bos B'cholov, another one that he's Makadish with, and it's also Bahana, is Bos B'cholov. So Manolan, how do we know it's also Bahana? The Torah into Rabbi Shmuel. We learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Three times in the Pasuk it says, like Sevashu Gdi B'chalevim, right? In Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Kisisa, and in Parshas Re'eh, it says, like Sevashu Gdi B'chalevim, right? Echad Isra Achila, one teaches us you're not allowed to eat them if they were cooked together. Echad Isra Hana, one of them teaches us you're not allowed to have Hana from them. And Echad Isra Bishul, and one teaches us you're not allowed to even cook them together, even if you're not going to have Hana from them. So we see it's also Hana. However, the Gemara says, "Masnisin deloiki haytan." Necessarily, therefore, we have to say that our Mishnah is not like the following Tanya. The Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yehudaima, Bos B'cholov, Osa B'achilu, Mutar B'hana. He says it's actually Mutar B'hana, Bos B'cholov. Shenema, he says, because the Pasuk is, Ki am Kodesh atal Hashem lekecha, loy sevashuk di b'chalevim, right? The Pasuk is saying you are a holy nation to Hashem, don't, in the third time it says in Parashat A, it says you are a holy nation to Hashem, don't cook a di in its mother's milk. Or Lahalan Oimer, you have a different Pasuk that also mentions the concept of the Jewish people being holy as far as a mitzvah to not eat something. But Anshe Kodesh Tiyunli, you should be holy people to me and don't eat Tereva. Therefore, he says, Now, when it comes to treifa, it's also to eat, but you're allowed to have hana. You're allowed to take meat from a treifa animal and from an animal that from an animal. No, not treifa as in a dove or tommy. We mean for an animal that became treifa, an animal that had any one of the 70 conditions that makes it treifa. It had problems with the lungs. It had problems with the stomach. It had whatever the things were we talked about before. It's mutar b'hana. You're allowed to sell it to a goy, for example. You're allowed to use it for dog food. And we see clearly because the pasuk says mutar b'hana because it says like. Of Tashlichonosei, which means throw it to the dog, meaning even if it's your own dog, you're allowed to throw it to that. So therefore, so sort of Shimon Yehuda says, Afkan, osbachilo, mutabahana, the same way, Bosbachalov, he says, is also to eat, but it's mutabahana. So therefore, so according to him, in fact, it would be mutabahana, and you could be Makadish with it. So our Mishnah of necessity is not going like him.
Our Mishnah says you
can't. Our Mishnah says you can't be Makadish with Basa B'chalav because it's also B'hanah. Rav Shimon Yehuda would say that it's Mutar B'hanah and therefore he wouldn't have a problem being Makadish with Basa B'chalav. True, she can't eat it, but she can feed it to a dog or something and therefore it would be Mutar. Okay. Well, we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and discuss the whole matter of Chul and Shenishchatu B'Azara. That's going to be a long discussion about the details of that.